welcome. Y'all know who I am, Melissa Millis, white-bodied, she, her pronouns. I am wearing the most rainbow-esque outfit that I have. Might not surprise y'all. With an alpaca sweater that is teal. Always alpaca sweater. Yeah. And I'd like to draw your attention to the title that we've given to today's sermon. It is the final sermon in this series on the book of Revelation, and it is Sparkle. And maybe you can see, probably not through all the dinge, but aside from jewelry, the only thing that I have that actually sparkles are these horribly old, dirty shoes that have residual glitter on them from that paint we used in 2020, that sidewalk chalk with the glitter in it. It won't come out. Just won't come out. So they do glitter here and there. You'll catch a glimpse in the midst of the dirt. Everything in my being this morning says Brittany should be preaching. She's not here. She's celebrating Christy's 50th birthday this weekend. That girl loves glitter, if you didn't know it. That girl loves glitter. And I am the glitter Grinch. You can just ask Joel and Grinch. I do not like glitter. Because it gets stuck in places forever. And you can ask Joel and Brittany about how much I've gone on and ranted about this in staff meeting. That's another matter. They'll get a chuckle out of it, though, if you ask them. It is Joel's birthday today, too. That's why he's not here. He's seeing his new nephew. So, nephew, right? Niece? I don't know. Anyway, a kid. He's seeing a three-week-old kid and on vacation. So, yeah. Anyway, I was pretty excited a few weeks ago that we had arrived at the end of the book of Revelation after being gone a couple of weeks, but we actually are closing today, this sermon series, with the final chapter today. So from our last text in chapter 21 to today's text in chapter 22, we've been taken on kind of a tour, if you will, of the vision of the new Jerusalem being realized in all the glory of God and the radiance, like a very rare jewel, as the text says. Even the beginning of chapter 22 talks about the river of life, referring to the water of life being bright as crystal, or in the Greek, lampros, which could also be translated as shining. So the sparkle, if you will, of this day is not just connected to our text, but also to the remembrance of our baptism as we celebrate that today, and we're going to circle back around as we come to the Lord's table later. And then, of course, we're kicking off Pride Month, so it just felt appropriate today to be titled Sparkle. Our lectionary text is verses 12 through 22 of the final chapter in the book of Revelation. And it may be described best as the book's epilogue with a benediction, written, of course, to those seven churches in the most urbanized and crucial region of the Roman Empire, who faced intense religious persecution. I've mentioned this several times. Let us not forget that these letters were meant to sustain in the midst of suffering and to hearten the weary faithful. And the message's intent continues to extend to the whole church today, as it did when it was written, calling the readers or the hearers to the ways of Christ and allegiance to a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In today's text, we find beatitudes, or blessings, for those who have remained faithful. Before I actually jump into our text, I want to note verse 11, because it's not a part of our lectionary text. I want to note this because I want us to acknowledge and tend to any anger or sadness we carry today for all that we are experiencing in the world around us. Verse 11 says, "Let the evildoers still do evil, the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy." In this, I am reminded that we can bear witness to the way of love and engage with God in co-creating the kingdom today, but people will still choose their own roads. And it's okay to have a lot of feelings about that and all of the implications that that brings. So may we allow the emotions to inform and stir us to remain steadfast today. All right, our lectionary text, verse 12 through 2. I'll be reading from the NRSV and just sharing like 3 exegetical comments along the way. I'm not going to bore you with too many today. And you are welcome to just follow along or listen if you want to grab some supplies or fidgets. Apparently, we've got a whole box there full. You are welcome to just pay attention to however the Spirit moves you this morning. All right. Revelation 22, verse 12. See, I am coming soon. I am coming soon. Maybe better translated from the Greek as I am coming swiftly. The verb coming in the Greek, erkomei, is in the present moment and in an ongoing way. Okay? It's kind of like hollering to the people in your house and them responding with, I'm coming. To which you know full well may be happening or in progress, but not fully complete. See, I am coming swiftly. My reward, or the fruit of labor, is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed, here's a beatitude, blessed are those who wash their robes, or as some manuscripts read, to do his commands. So they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs. Oh boy, ouch. Clearly this is a negative term and used in contempt. While it is usually used to refer to Gentiles and their various forms of uncleanliness, here it is most likely used for persons who are impious or immoral. And the list goes on. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the fornicators, and murderers, and idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood or lying and deceit. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Jesus is the fulfillment of Isaiah 11:1, that shoot from the stump of Jesse, and the fulfillment of Numbers 24:17, which speaks of the early shining star coming out of Jacob. But something interesting else happens here. Yet again, John the seer is repeating not just a kingdom vision, but is making a political statement. You see, a contemporary of John's named Martial wrote a poem for the emperor Domitian. And if we remember, Domitian was one who persecuted the followers of Jesus. Praying for Domitian's return from the northern part of the empire, the poem included lines that say this, "Thou morning star, bring on the day. Come and expel our fears. Rome begs that Caesar may soon appear." The Spirit and the bride, or the church, say, "Come." Let everyone who hears say, "Come." Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift, freely given. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away the person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Interesting warning, if I want to really think about it. How we've added and taken away from all the things in this book over the years. The one who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming swiftly." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Grace, the letter closes as it started, with grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with, is how it actually ends in the Greek. This is the word of the Lord. As we pay attention to the Spirit and the spark of the present moment this day, I'm reminded of the invitation that Jesus extends to us, an invitation that some may respond to and others will not. Remember verse 11, let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Jesus says, come. An invitation to sparkle together, to reflect the beauty of the kingdom despite and in the face of our circumstances, in our weariness, in our doubt, in our exhaustion, with steadfast faithfulness to God through practice, listening to the Spirit and participating in the co-creation with God making all things new. Let the Spirit and the church say, come. Let everyone who hears say, come. Let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift, freely given. This morning, as we look toward celebrating Pentecost next Sunday, we come to the water in remembrance and reaffirmation of our baptisms. This has actually become kind of a regular rhythm in the life of our body here at Trinity. I did mention, I think a couple of weeks ago, we're going to actually hold baptism in real water for those who are very excited about the real water, not an inflatable pool situation, at the retreat in August, at the end of August. Anyway, allow me just a few moments to frame, if you will, this practice as we prepare to come to the Lord's table here in a few minutes. So baptism is considered a sacrament, an outward sign of an inward and invisible grace, not a salvific event like some sort of fire insurance. A word about sacraments and water. So sacrament is a term used to render the Greek word mysterion, which describes something that touched the center of one's life and raised one into an experience of the divine. In the Latin, sacramentum is a military matter, an act of allegiance and sign of willingness to be humble before judgment. It also refers to being outfitted in garments appropriate for the new society of the sovereign realm. As described in Galatians 3:28, the realm of Christ reinforces equal worth of all persons and abolishes destructive forces of slavery, ethnic discrimination, and gender devaluation. So it also feels appropriate that we reaffirm our baptisms each year in June alongside Pride Month. Water, of course, was a significant sign in the Old Testament, and it was connected to life. Deliverance from chaos, destruction of sin, cleansing and ritual activity, as Julie already mentioned, across the world in various religious practices. In the New Testament, Jesus declares in his baptism identification with humanity and participation in our sin and guilt through kinship. Baptism continues to be a matter of covenant making. Whether sprinkled or immersed, infant or believer, baptism is a recognition of divine initiative and our response. It is a hearing of the word of God which speaks in the depths of our being, an attunement to the Spirit moving among us, revealed in creation, sometimes called the first Bible, and recounted in the stories of Scripture and the ongoing story God is re-narrating in the world. It is repentance, a turning from our old ways, and believing the truth that is revealed in community, just as it is in the Trinity itself. Reaffirmation of our baptism, a seemingly individual-only matter, is significant in a world that aims to pit us against one another, to devalue who we are as human beings made in the image of God. In our baptism, we affirm belonging to God and to one another, intricately woven into the complexities of life in Christ together. Baptism, of course, is used as a metaphor for being incorporated into the body of Christ, born together in the kindred of God. We are invited to live a new kind of life by virtue of participation in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Romans 6:3-5 says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Beautiful, messy, kinship, bound by oppression, freed in the Spirit, united as we walk in newness of life. If you were baptized as an infant, before you could confirm your own belief, we affirm your baptism. If you were baptized as a believer, confirming your own belief, we affirm your baptism. God is and has been at work in your life. You belong to God and to the community of faith in all its beauty and messiness. So as you come to the Lord's table today, feel free to dip your hand in the bowl of water as a reminder and reaffirmation of your own baptism. If you have never been baptized and have questions or would like to be baptized, please let us know. And feel free to touch the water as an affirmation of being a part of the Trinity family this morning. God is and has been at work in your life too. You can join me in the Lord's table liturgy as we prepare to come to the table this morning. You can join in the bolded parts. Siblings in Christ, through the waters of baptism, we are brought into the family of God. This family, the body of Christ, is rich in divine creativity. A community of people, many ages, races, abilities, genders, sexual orientations, and desires, each a glimpse of God from a different angle. God claims each of us with delight, and we claim one another as companions in faith. God's Spirit has been poured out upon the water, water poured over and immersing us, water that flows freely for all who will receive it, water from the streams of God's saving power and justice, water that brings hope to all who thirst for righteousness, water that refreshes life, nourishes growth, and offers new birth. Today, we come to the waters to renew our commitments in each other's presence, to Christ who has raised us, the Spirit who has birthed us, and the Creator who is making all things new. In our baptismal vows, we promise to love and support each other, working together to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in all its forms. Within us and around us, we each need shared work of enfleshing the dreams of God. Today, we remember that the love we encounter through these waters cannot be undermined by bigotry or hate, by exclusion or injustice. We are children of the Holy One, siblings in the life of God. These family ties cannot be broken. No one and nothing has the power to turn us away from our Creator. We cannot be kicked out or accepted only in part. The full embrace of God always extends to us. And so today, as we remember our baptism, we also remember that through this new life in Christ, we are set free to love wildly, to live into whom God created us to be, and to claim the power God has given us to turn from everything that destroys. Through God's grace, we leave shame behind and rejoice in the good news that sets the captives free. We affirm and teach the faith of the whole church as we put our trust in God, the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. As we come to the table, we are reminded that the Spirit of the Lord is with us. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray together. God of life and God of love, through this gift of water, you do miraculous things. The dust of past shame and guilt are washed away. The bonds of love are restored. The possibilities of new life emerge. May it be so for us today as we remember our baptisms. May your Spirit be upon this water and all who gather here at the table as we celebrate this sacred family to which you have called us. Strengthen us in love for one another as we renew our commitment to the pursuit of the kingdom of God, where all your creatures and creations are beloved and free. Amen.